this morning, we're going to start a new series called Great by Grace. Thank you. Great by Grace. Now, you know, we're great by the grace of God. You are awesome, not in your own abilities, even though you're pretty awesome. I think I have a well-balanced thought process of myself. I like me. I think I'm a nice person. I have fun just by myself. I'm funny. I sometimes will sit and think of a joke, don't even have to say it out loud, and I will laugh. Why? Because I'm funny. It's just the way it is. You know, I remember in class, still remember, sixth grade, Miss Johnson, and I'm doing my work. I laugh out loud. And for some reason, she wanted me to always sit by her desk. I don't know why. I think it's because she also had the same opinion. She liked me too. And so I had to sit right by her desk. And I remember one time I'm taking a test and I chuckle. I just laugh. And she goes, "Mr. Sadler, what are you laughing at?" I said, "Thought of something funny." She said, "No, you did not. What did you laugh at?" I said, "I thought of something funny." And she goes, "That's not possible." And I just thought, wow, I never said this out loud because I was born in the South. You know, I would have got spanked and a lot of problems would have happened. But I thought in my head, you know, you're not supposed to say everything you think in your head. And so I thought to myself, how boring. How terrible it is to be you, that you can't ever think of anything funny. That makes me sad. I told Jessie, she's the second funniest person I know. Now, she disagrees with me. She thinks she is the funniest. She's pretty funny. But anyway, I believe you should be your greatest prophet, you should be your greatest pastor, and you should be pretty funny, even to your own self. I think you should enjoy you. If you don't enjoy you, I think you need to get connected with God on the inside of you, take care of some of the problems of the way you look at yourself, the way you see yourself, start to see yourself as God sees you, and it will get rid of all the past, all the baggage, all the things that is holding on, all the stuff that is telling you why you can't make it, why you can't overcome. It will point to your past, what you did last week, what you did last year, what you did 10 years ago. There are people that had something in their life 50 years ago still holding on to it, still not letting themselves go forward. And I'm not even saying what they did was good. It probably was very, very bad. But guess what? When you are forgiven, God says, "I throw it as far as the east is from the west." He says he destroys it. He doesn't, you know, have you ever watched Home Makeover? They don't slap a fresh paint on you. That's not what God does. He doesn't come in and put new curtains and say, "Oh, the walls were dirty. Let's paint them again." It says that old way is dead. It is destroyed. He doesn't even recognize it as the foundation. Foundations even root up. You know, some people will remove homes off of a concrete foundation and rebuild on the same foundation because it's sturdy. God says, "I don't even trust the old foundation. It's going to be ripped up. A new foundation is put on the inside of you, and I'm going to build something new on something that was completely new, never old, never used." Hallelujah. Oh, I feel good this morning. I feel good this morning. And so we're going to be talking about being great, but being great by grace. You know, I'm trying to think of the old, vehicle commercials. There was Ford Tough. There was Built Like a Rock. Isn't that right? Didn't I get that right? Built Like a Rock. Wasn't that Ram, their deal? Chevy. Chevy's right. Well, it was Ram. Ram Tough. And they have the Hemi, got a Hemi, you know. That's their commercial. So they have all this. And what they wanted you to think was built to last. Can I tell you something that's built more to last than any truck or anything? You know, Colosseums have made it thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But one day all this will burn. Somebody asked me, "Do you believe in global warming?" Absolutely. The Bible says this whole earth will burn. You don't get more global warming than that right there. That's global warming at its best. Now, I don't know what the cause is. I have a theory. I could be wrong. So what does it matter what my theory is? I could be wrong. But God says he'll melt this whole earth. This whole earth will melt. So every stone, every building, all it's going to do is melt. It will burn up. So yes, I do believe in global warming. But my whole purpose is something that will outlast the earth, something that will outlast every stone, every home, every vehicle, is the kingdom of God. And he has put that on you. And how does the kingdom of God even get inside of you? Not because you're good enough, not because you've proven yourself, but it's by the grace, the unmerited favor of God on the inside of you. And let's just go ahead and say this. I've had, you know, I got people on both sides of my friends in ministry. You know, you talk about grace, one side champions it and, you know, grace all the way. And then the other side that says, you know, oh, you better be careful with that stuff. Hey, don't be careful with it. I mean, like, put gasoline in a super soaker, light it on fire, and shoot it in the air. When it comes to the things of God, there is no be for me. I just want to jump in and not be careful with any of it. Burn it, light it, run with it. Have it right. I'm not talking about getting wrong or getting out of context, but have the things of God, and when you're solid on it, run with it. You know, Paul, they did so many things to him because they accused him of doing something wrong. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not being accused by both sides, by the world and by the church, I wonder if I'm doing something right. Not too long ago, this has been, you know, probably a year and a half ago, there was a period or 2 years ago, 3 years ago, let's just keep on going, 4 or 5 years ago, there was a period where I even told Jesse, I said, you know, no one's really said anything bad about me for a while. Now, we can... It was not a year ago. It was not a year ago. And it has not even been within the last year. But there was a period of time where I'm like, no threats, no death threat, no nothing. I'm like, am I missing it somewhere? Am I missing it? Not even, we went a whole year and nobody threatened my life. They're like, am I not doing something right? And I just look at Paul, and so this is where I want to get to. We don't judge our relationship with God based on circumstances or if things are going right. Because if we did, Paul would never had a relationship with God. Even Jesus himself would not have had a relationship with God because everything wasn't hunky-dory with him. He had a church split. 70 people was with him, and then all of a sudden 12 was left because they didn't like what he said. They tried to throw him off a side of a cliff and kill him. They tried to do so many things. They ran him out of town. And what did Jesus say? Just knock the dust off your feet and move on. So if we look at circumstances and judge where we are with God based on circumstances, we're going to always miss it. Why? Because our relationship with God is going to be based on 100% emotional and how well we're doing it. And is our 401k doing well? Where's the stock market? And all of a sudden, our idea of our relationship with God is going to be based on a lot of things that we have no control over. And we will be in a roller coaster, up and down, on if God loves us. And God settled that statement 2,000 years ago on the cross. I have no right. God, do you love me? Hello? Hello? You know, I try not to put my attributes or the way I think on God. I try to take his. But, you know, I remember, you know, one of my kids, we'll leave them nameless. They don't like when I say their names out loud in service. But, you know, I remember one of them saying, I'd be like, you don't even love me. And I have to think because I know y'all were raised different up here, you know, in the north. We're very responsive. I want to hear your opinion. Why do you feel that way? Tell me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, what have I done? What have I done to cause you to feel that way? Oh, my goodness. My precious boy. Oh, geez, Louise there. Oh, be like, Thelma, I did something wrong. I did something wrong. I don't know why I would feel that way. Oh, goodness gracious. Now, in my home, if I would have ever said, Daddy, you don't even love me, he said, I'll beat the love in you, young man. You ever talk to me like that again? That is a lie from the pits of hell, and I'll beat the truth in you. You understand me? You won't even be able to sit down. I brought you in the world. I can take you out. I know y'all don't, and I'm not saying that that's the way you need to speak to your kids. I'm just saying that was different, and so when something happens, there's a knee-jerk reaction, you know? Something that's been rooted and grounded in me wants to come out, and I have to speak to it, and I have to realize, okay, I can't just do what my daddy would have done, because it only worked 1 in 3 from what we can understand. For you that missed that, I have 2 sisters. sorry. And so in this, I want to point out that we are great by grace. Now, grace, I looked this up this morning in Google's dictionary because, you know, Google's always right. They're never wrong. But grace, it says, one of their definitions says, in Christian belief. I love that they even specified. They're like, they give a definition, number one, and then the second definition, number two, says, in Christian belief. It says, free and unmerited favor of God, manifested in the salvation of sinners and bestowed of blessings. So I like this. You know, the dictionary actually used to be based out of the Bible. That's how we even looked to see if words was spelled right. We went to the Bible. They're like, you spelled John wrong. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Look what the Bible says. Oh, I'm sorry, I misspelled it. I forgot the H. And now look at us. We got away from that. Now we spell John sometimes J-O-N. Okay, thank you. You can laugh in here. It's all right. And so the grace of God is unmerited favor. God on the inside of his ability on us. And so the reason why we are great is not because we've done something. It's because he put his greatness in us, causing us to be great. And so you have the ability to be greater than you've ever been before. And my goal this year is, you know, if somebody asks me, do you make New Year's resolutions? No, I just make resolutions all the time. My goal is to be greater this year than I was last year. And I try to look over my life, I've said this before, about once a quarter, where I ask God, what am I doing? What's not producing? Is there something I need to change? Because the only thing that's going to stay the same is that everything is going to constantly change. The only thing that stays the same is the fact that we change in God's word. God does not change, but everything else does. Culture changes, hairstyles changes. You think your hair looks great now? Look at it in 20 years. Or if you even have it in 20 years. But look, it all changes. I remember being at Rhema Bible School, and you know, I was watching a video of A.A. Allen, and they were doing the music. They started playing it, and when they were playing it, I'm here like, oh great, another boring. You know, I'm just going to sit here and watch this whole boring thing. And they're singing songs, and it's off key and off pitch, and it was just terrible. And the Beehives were jacked to Jesus, so he would see you coming. I mean, it was a competition who could have the tallest hair. Everything looked terrible. Everything looked bad. And then all of a sudden, A.A. Allen took the stage, and I've already kind of checked out mentally. And then he starts preaching. The moment he grabs that microphone and begins to talk, I mean, there was an attention that came to the whole room. But I was in a group of an evangelist, so we didn't have long attention spans. So everybody already checked out. And then all of a sudden, it was like at once. Everybody pays attention. And he begins to preach the gospel. He jumps off the stage, and he tells a guy laying in a gurney, God has healed you. Rise up out of your bed. And the guy gets up. And the lady who was beside the nurse, she fainted. Not in God, but just fainted. Because and later they even interviewed her and asked her, what happened? Was it the power? No. He can't walk. He can't walk and he walked. He can't walk and he walked. And that's all she could say. He can't walk and he walked. The music will change. The hairstyle will change. The clothes will change. The power of God will never change. His word will always have power. Oh! So in the future, I want you to listen to me back now and not see me. Because a lot will change. But the power of God, the word of God, never will. And so God has promised his church that the gates of hell shall not prevail. He's promised us that we'll be able to walk in victory. Now, sometimes our definition of victory and what victory looked like will be different than how God gauges victory. And what we want to do is always get in his word and balance what he says and not get our own expectation on it, because we can miss it sometimes. Let me give you an example of this. Most of y'all know that my mother lives in Florida. And so what hurricane just went through not too terribly long ago? Michael, thank you. I always forget their names. Michael. So Michael came through. And Michael almost completely destroyed a home, two homes over by my parents. It was almost a complete loss. And ripped off some of the tin and siding on the house right beside her. And I mean, you can spit and hit the house. I mean, it's that close. And then the other house, I mean, just homes all around us. It messed up. Now, her house... We had flooding underneath, and there's some enclosed stairs, but it's just stairs to get up. But, you know, they enclosed it, and so it's carpeted. Well, it wasn't carpeted because we learned a long time ago not to put carpet in it because you're going to replace it every so many years. And so in all of this, she had all this in there. And before she left Florida, before the storm came, she walked around her property and she claimed the word of God, Psalms 91. And she claimed that this house will stand, this property will be fine. And she came back and I called her, I FaceTimed her when she was going back over. I said, Mom, I want to be with you when they open the doors, open the bridge back up, and you are able to go to your house. I want to be able to see you. I want to be with you. Even if I can't be there, at least I can be there electronically and we can talk. And so she starts going there and, I hear just kind of begin to weep. And I knew immediately, I didn't have any concern that it was a good weep. I knew she was weeping because she was happy. And she said, there it stands. There it stands. And so I was with her the whole time and she walked around and she saw everything. Well, when we were able to talk over Thanksgiving, I talked with her. I said, I'm so glad I was with you on the phone. I'm so glad. And she said, I walked around and I knew God would be there. And I told my mom, I said, I envy your faith. I envy your faith. And she says, what do you mean you envy mine? You do something, you know, and of course then we start talking about what each other has done and the faith and the time God has pulled through for us. And I told her, I said, but see, you walked around and you had the faith you knew it was going to stand. I said, you know, I probably would have walked around the house, prayed and believed God for the best and said, God, I don't care if it's taken. I don't care if it's flat and I want it to stay. I love this house. I believe in you for the best outcome. But if it falls, I will serve you. If it's destroyed, I will serve you. If the whole island is moved and is no longer there, you will be faithful. And I said, but there are times that I wish I could stand up and say, God, I know this will not move. And there are times of faith, the spirit of faith comes upon you and you know, and God will reveal things to you. But there are times that you get in a storm or a trial of life and you have no idea what the outcome is. You have an expectation, you have hope, you have joy on the inside of you, but our faith should not be in our faith. Our faith should be in a faithful God. That our mentality is, Lord, we're claiming your blessing, your unmerited favor, your favor that we do not deserve, your greatness on the inside of us shining through, that our life will be a billboard to others. But God, whether everything's destroyed or whether it stands, we will serve you. We will show everyone your goodness. We'll be a billboard for your grace and your mercy. And you know, whether it is, and God gave you a word that it'll stand, then stand on it. And if you expected something to come through and it didn't come through like you thought it would, continue to stand. You know, I remember this when the story of the apostle where he's on a ship, it gets shipwrecked. What does he do? He swims to shore. It's raining. It's cold. What does he do? He builds a fire. He gathers wood, getting wood, put it on the fire. All of a sudden, a snake comes out, bites him on the hand. What does he do? He shakes it off. Faith has an expectation that God will always pull through. And even though circumstances may not line up with what we thought was going to happen, as the great prophet, we shake it off. Shake it off. Psalms 30 and 5 tells us that weeping may endure for a night. Yeah. But joy comes in the morning. When is your morning? When you recognize that it was night. When you recognize that it is dark. There is an hour that's coming. See, this is what I love about morning. From 11:59 to 12:01, nothing really changes in the atmosphere. It's still dark. You don't see all. Just because morning all of a sudden has come doesn't mean you can see all the way down where the trail is going. But all of a sudden something has changed in the atmosphere. Something has changed in the very rotation or the plan, and you can't even see it with your natural eyes. But on the inside of you, morning has come. I have wept, but it is now time to stand up, dust myself off. I have cried, I have mourned, but I am done. Morning has come. Look at your neighbor and say, morning has come. Oh, some of you probably should shout a little bit, move a little bit. Because morning has come. Look at another neighbor. That neighbor might not have believed you enough. They might have been like, that's what Darlene always says. Over there. Look, I'm Darlene. Love you, Darlene. I'm Katie. Hallelujah! Woo! Like, that's just because they're so super spiritual. Can I tell you something? I joke because I love them. And people can say many things about me. But I don't do that half-heartedly or out of mocking people, because you don't know what they've gone through to get to where they've gotten to shout, to praise, because they've come through something. You're going to have a praise. You've got something to praise about. You got to dance on the... And my mother used to tell me, son, you better dance in advance. You better praise him before you ever see the light of day. When you're in the midst of everything, get up and praise him, because you are confident that his word will perform what it said it would do. So you can praise God in confidence. Be like, Lord, I trust you. I don't know how this turns out. I don't know how the victory comes to me, but I trust you. I can have joy in the midst of a storm. I can sleep when everybody else is looking around saying, Lord, don't you love us? And I can sleep in the midst of a storm. Why? Because God said, I'm going to the other side. Woo! If y'all were a little more excited, I might have danced right then. I want to say this. Sometimes that when we're in life, there's opposition. There's opposition to what we're going to do. My daddy said, if you could do it on your own, it might not be worth doing. And everything God has called you to do is going to look impossible. You're going to come to moments where you think, what in the world was I thinking? Even when it comes to children. And you're going to have to quote the word. And you're going to wonder where they got that. And you're going to blame the other spouse? That's you right there. That's you. I'm going to give you some advice that may help you. Just automatically take everything they do wrong and say, that's you. And everything they do that's right, say, honey, that's you. It's made it easier. I just automatically assume everything they do wrong is because of my nature and not hers. Even though sometimes I do question. No, I'm just kidding. But there are three things that we have in opposition. And when God speaks to us, when we see something, or it may seem impossible, but there are three things that will oppose us: the enemy, the defeated one, Satan. I like to call him the defeated one, because people give him too much credit. And think, I've had people say, you know, I remember one time somebody was talking, devil, you better watch out. God is moving, blah, blah. And somebody said, shh, shh, shh. What, what? Don't say his name. Why? He may hear you. The person said, who do you think? I'm saying it out loud for his benefit. I want him to hear me. And they almost believe that he's got more power. Can I tell you something? God put more power on the inside of you than any force on this earth. So we have the enemy, the defeated one, that would try to stand against us. The world will try to stand against us. And there are times that our own flesh will try to stand against us or oppose us. And I have found out that these attacks and these things come in two times and places in our life. One, when we're out of the will of God. When we're out of the will of God, this can bring this to us. And two, when we're in the will of God. A lot of people, again, going back, don't judge your relationship based on the opposition that you are experiencing. A lot of times be like, I must have missed it. I've been there. I've done it. I've imitated that. I've been a reflection of that. I remember when I was driving one time out of state, I had somebody run a red light, hit me on the side of my vehicle, push me across two lanes of traffic. My head hit the window. I don't think I blacked out, but it was just like a space of time that I don't quite remember, except, you know, wake kind of saying, oh, my foot's all the way down on the gas and I'm spinning in circles. I probably should stop. I remember that. I don't think it was long, just a moment. And they hit me right in the frame. thankfully, so it didn't really tear up a whole lot of stuff. Where they made impact was right in the frame of my vehicle. I had a 1999, this was year 2000, I had a 1999 silver pewter Camaro. Beautiful. Loved it. And someone hit me and I was going home. I just had everything packed and I was going home. I was going home to Florida. And I remember when this all happened, there was a moment I would just begin to be like, Lord, why did this happen? Why did someone hit me? Why did this happen? This car, I love this car. You gave me this car. You gave me this. Why? Why did this happen? Where did I miss it, Lord? Did I forget to say the blood of Jesus covers me from my head to my toes, side to side, back to forth? Nothing will hit me. I'll hit nothing. Did I forget to say my confession this morning? Lord, I forgot. It's my fault. And my faith was in my ability to confess and do what was right. And can I tell you something? Sometimes things happen because we live in a fallen world. And I am determined that it will not determine my relationship with God or cause me to believe that I have missed Him or there's something more that I need to do. Hey, I'm not going to be able to answer every question. Why did this happen to Meemaw? I know y'all, I say Meemaw because y'all don't have any. And Paw, why did it happen? Why did it happen? I don't know. All I know is we live in a fallen world. That's what I do know. But as for me, I am going to serve the Lord. Even if I can't explain things, even if I can't understand everything that's going on around me, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to follow Him. And I know the end result will be victory. Oh, sometimes I need to be in a situation. I have seen where things have turned around and God used something the enemy did for bad, turned it around, and good came out of it. Salvations came out of it. Able to witness to people, talk to them. Now, did God bring the evil? Absolutely not. But He promised you what the devil tried to destroy you with. He will not let you face opposition without a blessing. He will not let you face opposition without bringing something good to you. He's promised you there is a lion who seeks, trying to kill, trying to steal, trying to destroy. But I come to give you life and that life more abundantly. Most people believe that second part voids the first part. The first part is still true. He is seeking to destroy. But God is giving life and giving it more abundantly. Look at your neighbor and say, I live in abundance. We are not going to get through this all the way. But we said, God, when will the attacks come? When we're out of the will of God and when we're in the will of God. They'll come, it rains upon the just and the unjust alike. So we cannot, I know I'm a broken record here, but you got to get this. Your relationship with God has nothing to do with good or bad things happening to you. Good's always going to happen. Bad's always going to happen. But the thing is I believe we get to a point where the bad that used to cause us to buckle, used to cause us to fall, used to cause us to, rip our shirt, old covenant, Old Testament, sackcloth and ashes, and we mourn and we cry aloud, oh, oh. And do you know a lot of that was show anyway? I can prove it to you by God's word. And with the girl who was sleeping, that they said she died, and God said, no, she's asleep. They were mourning. And God says, no, she's sleeping. And they turned it. They were wailing. They were mourning, and they turned, and they laughed at Him. They turned it off, and they turned it on just as quick as they wanted to. We have people today that still turn it off and turn it on as fast as they want. It drives our politics. It drives everything. This emotion. It drives everything. We the world functions off of emotion. Cut it off and turn it on as quick as they want. People talk about wanting no drama. Why they're causing drama? Yeah. They're like, I saved that drama for your mama. And then they're all they're doing is stirring it up. They're posting it on Facebook, social media, everything else. I ain't saying you shouldn't be on there. I'm just saying maybe watch what you're doing because it can cause some of your own problems. And then we begin to, good little Christian boys and girls begin to question God. Why is He allowing things to happen when sometimes we may be the very reason why something came that way. Let's turn to Matthew 5 in chapter 10. Matthew 5 and verse 10. Thank you, all my little Bible students that caught that. That was a test. You passed. Yeah, you passed. Good job. I throw things out there just to see if you're listening. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness. As a kid, I never liked that scripture. I did not enjoy this scripture at all. Blessed are they which are persecuted. And I'm like, for righteousness' sake. For their error. Now, it doesn't say for your own stupidity. Would anyone besides me, because I'm admitting right here, my hand's up, that you have been persecuted by your own stupidity? That is the majority of us. Thank you. I have been persecuted by my own stupid decisions. But there is a persecution that comes for your righteousness' sakes. For theirs is the kingdom. Isn't there a song about that? Okay. But this word kingdom here. Now, a lot of times we hear kingdom of heaven, and we automatically think, you know, heaven, throne, God sitting, you know, Jesus on the right hand, Holy Spirit, all of this stuff, angels, the cherubim, the angels with wings, with their heads covered, holy, holy, holy is the God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. You know, that we think of heaven, streets of gold, gates of pearl. But when you look this word heaven up, it's the word Oranas. I like that word. Oranas. Just walk around your house and say, Oranas. It sounds great. I always, when I'm mad, I want to speak Hebrew. It's such a perfect language to scream in. There's a lot of ha and a ha. And so, Oranas, which means sky, universe, or world. And so the kingdom of the sky, the universe, the world. Theirs is the kingdom. We've always said this, those who are persecuted for righteousness. One day, brother, when you die, your body gets old and crumpety, and you finally breathe that last breath. Thank God you leave this horrible world. Oh, if we can just only make it till we die. If we can only make it till someone, you know, we die horribly, and hopefully it's soon, because I'm tired of this world. That's almost the mentality of the church. But he's not saying when you die and get to heaven, it'll be yours. He's saying the kingdom of this earth, yes. It is yours. Yes. Those that are persecuted for righteousness. Let's keep reading verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. Another scripture I wasn't happy about reading as a teenager. And shall all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake.
Jesus.
Rejoice and be excited. Be glad. How many of you, the last time somebody lied about you, lied about your family, said you were cheating, you were an adulterous affair, and they said junk about you at work, the only reason he or she got where they were is because they got to the top doing things that we, good, you know, moral people, wouldn't do. And people believe it. How many of you heard that and said, glory be to God? Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, let it be. Let it be, Jesus. I'm exceedingly glad. Now, it says, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, I want you to notice a couple things. One, it says persecuted for righteousness' sakes. So this lets me know that there are going to be problems and persecutions that pop up for no other reason than you serve the Lord. That you're righteous, there's going to be people who don't like you. Because they don't even know you. You come in their presence, something about them I don't like. Something about them I don't like. And it would be just for pure righteousness' sake. You carry the gospel. You carry the Holy Spirit. You carry the creating power of God, the unmerited favor. And there's people that are not going to like that. Because it goes against everything they do and everything they are. All of a sudden, you're nice for no reason whatsoever. You bless people for, you know, not even for your own gain. You go down to the break room and say, hey, I'm going to go down and get myself a Coke because we know that's the only good drink to drink. Thank you. Thank you. All right. That's the truth. But But there are some attacks that come against us. Like we're just going to go down and be like, you know, it's cheap at work. At least the last place I worked, it was a quarter. I mean, like, that's so great. You know, like, I'll go down and get everybody something to drink. What you want? And then when you get back up, you hear, why is he doing that? Why are they doing that? Why is she doing that? What are they trying to do? Buy our friendship? What's wrong with them? They think, like people are that cheap. I could buy people off for a quarter. No, it's just because you're a giver. The nature of God is on the inside of you. You bless people. You give. It's your very nature to give. You're like your Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If he gave his Son, I could give a quarter.
Yes.
I can show love. I can smile. I can be kind. I can be a shoulder to cry on. I can be someone to listen to someone else and bless them and not point out everything they do wrong, because the world does that all the time. But just point them to a loving Savior. They already know what they're doing for the majority is wrong. They needed to be pointed to a Savior that loves them, that will restore them, that will bring them to the place of righteousness. Jesus is our greatest example. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Look upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him," "endured the cross, despising the shame, and it is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." We've already talked about this, but what was the joy that was set before him? You were. Before he went to the cross, it was your face that was on his mind. It was your name, your thought, the fact that God was going to bring you into fellowship, going to bring you back into the family, going to have the relationship with you, causing you to be what God created you to be. See, I understand it, and there is a little bit of truth in it, but it's looking at it wrong. I came from a church that told me that Jesus came and died on the cross because I was a sinner. Now, was that true? It has some truth in it. But God wanted to restore me to the place of walking worthy in his presence, as though sin has never existed. He wanted to caused me to be righteous. He redeemed me, made me righteous, and restored my relationship with him. That was the plan. It wasn't the plan wasn't to wash me white because I was a sinner, to get all the sin off of me, to take everything off me because that's who I was. He died because he knew my original creation. He knew what I was created for. I had a purpose before sin ever entered the world, and it was to walk with God. It was to be his son, and you, his daughter, whoever you are, be his children. And the enemy, we lost something, and he put chains, he put darkness, he put stuff that was not of us on us. And God came to take it off and put us back to the original creation. He came not because you were a sinner. He came because you were operating outside of the plan that he had for you from the very beginning. And we need to get out of seeing ourselves as sinners, as people who've missed it. I'm not saying what you've done wasn't wrong and that you didn't have sin operating in your life, but you were never created for that. You were created for the plan of God. You were created for God to live on the inside of you. You were created to walk and function in his blessings and his promises. You were created to lay hands on the sick and them recover. You were created to come in contact with someone, and all of a sudden God gives you a word. It may be something small. It may be something large. Maybe paragraphs. It may be one sentence. And all of a sudden you speak to them. Hey, I just want to tell you this. And then they start crying. What, how do you know? Where did you get that? I had someone tell me one time after talking with them, and it was just I didn't even know I hit something they were concerned about or what was going on. And they said, "What are you doing? Who are you? Have you tapped my phone? Are you following me around?" And I didn't even know how to respond to that. Like, no, I'm actually busy. I don't have time to follow you around. And God will give you something just to say at the right time. And all of a sudden, you're a prophet to somebody that you didn't even know. You prophesy to them. You have a word of knowledge for them. And then all of a sudden, they begin to reveal your heart or their heart, and you're able to speak to them and share the love of God with them. right where you are, this is what I want us to do. I want you to ask yourself this question. I want you to ask the Lord right now. If you need to close your eyes, close your eyes. If you need to stand up, you need to get to a different spot, do whatever makes you comfortable. You need to wide-eyed and look around at everybody, do that. Whatever makes you comfortable. But I want you to ask the Lord in this message, Father, what are you speaking to my heart? What are you trying to show me? What was for me, God? What do you want to get across to me? Thank you, Lord. Some of us may go throughout the week and God bring a piece of this message back and say, this is what I was trying to tell you. This is what I was trying to show you. God, we thank you for being involved in our lives.